Open your Bibles here this morning, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. And the title of my message here this morning is Skill in Living. Skill in Living from the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. And God's word says here, Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand the proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. We pray as we gather around your word. Your word is truth, and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Father, your word speaks with authority because it is the word of God. So bless us as we gather around it. Lord, help me be a vessel that honors your son and your word, brings glory to your name. And Father, give us each eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to perceive of your great truth and your word. So bless us here this morning as we gather around it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, wisdom is something we all need. I remember something that happened years ago. When my wife and I first got married, we had an apartment and we were living there and we were eating dinner, and my wife had a little container. It had little heart things on it, a little lid on it, and a little tea light was burning inside of it. You put the lid on and through the little hearts around it, you could see the little candle, just a little decorative thing on the table. And this particular tea light, a lot of them have a little metal case around them, but this tea light was just a candle with a wick in it. Well, it burnt down, and when it got toward the end, the wax had melted inside this little thing. And all of a sudden, at the end of dinner, I noticed this thing, the wax melted, and the flame kind of spread out across the bottom. And I thought, oh, that's not good, because it had little heart holes in the side, and I don't want it to get on the wood table and, you know, wax and fire. And so, now, if there's fire, what do you use to put fire out with? Water. Does that seem logical? So I go to the sink, I get a cup, and I took the little lid off, and I just went to pour water to put this thing out. At that point, the law of physics took over. Okay, now, when you got hot wax, a hot container, and this thing had spread out, so there's a little big flame down the bottom, those little heart holes, all of a sudden that became a ventura for air to rush through. Because when I put the water on top, that hotness down there in that flame turned that water to steam. The steam picked up the wax and shot the wax up in the air. All this happened so quick. All of a sudden, when I did like this, I had a flame this high on my table. I am serious. That thing went crazy. I was like, oh, no. You know, here I was thinking I was helping the situation. I just made it worse, you know. But it quickly extinguished itself to nothing I did. It just burned itself out, you know, because I about burned our table off. But, you know, I learned something from that. Don't put water on hot wax in a container because it doesn't turn out the way you think it will. And I learned something. And that was a life experience. I'll never do that again. And, you know, but what happens in life if we burn a relationship because we don't handle it skillfully? And you think you're doing good by putting water on it and you burn a relationship. What if you burn your job up because you think you're doing good and all of a sudden, your boss says one day, you're fired, get out of here. You know, we can burn things up so easily, thinking we're doing good, but we don't do it right. You know, what if you burn up your finances? You know, all of a sudden, you don't have money to pay your bills, and the credit card collectors are pounding your door, where's our money? And you feel all this pressure, and the husband and wife get to fighting because there's not enough money going around. You know, it's so easy to burn things up when we think we're doing good. And Proverbs is given to us by God. Now, in the Bible, you have the law, you have wisdom literature, you have the law, you have the prophets. God gives us certain things. You have prophecy in the Bible. You have certain things that God gives us in the Bible. God gives us the book of Proverbs for daily living. It's the fine tuning of how do I work life out? How do I make life work for me? And Proverbs is a book that helps us work through the nitty-gritty of life. How do I understand life? You know, it's like the fella said one time about life. He goes, I haven't been this way before. You ever felt that way? You got a new challenge, something funny? You just haven't been this way before. And what do you do with those moments where, which way do I go? What do I do? Well, God gives us the book of Proverbs. Somebody has said Proverbs is distilled wisdom. It gets that gold nugget. If you're looking for gold, what do you have to remove to find gold? You have to remove a lot of dirt to find the gold. And for some people today, there's gold mining operations. I remember reading a story. They remove tons of dirt just to get a little bit of gold. But when they find the gold, they got it. They got it. And wisdom, the book of Proverbs is those nuggets of truth that you can lay hold to that help your life. You ever heard the saying, a stitch in time saves nine? Now, what does that mean? What does a stitch in time saves nine? Now, if you're not a sewer or care about your clothing, it probably doesn't mean anything to you. But if you sew, you understand. Whoever said that had a life experience, because they realized if you got a little tear and you sew it up, a stitch in time, you'll have nine times that that thing doesn't keep growing on. You ever had a thread and you pulled it and all of a sudden it goes, and you go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. You have a shirt or something? Because you pulled the stitching out. Okay, a proverb is long on experience, but short on words. In other words, it takes a lot of experience and puts it together in a little nugget that you can get your hands around. Now, are little pithy sayings easy to get a hold of? Okay, I'm going to say something and I want you to finish it. Where's the beef? Yes, okay. Why did you, who, I don't know who said it, doesn't matter, but whoever said that knew where I was going, because it's a little saying, but you knew where, because it, that wasn't, that's what advertisers try to do. They try to get a little saying into your noggin because they know you can lay hold of that. Okay, now, why is your phone number, like the church number here is 433-7585. Why does the phone company put that dash? Why don't they just put 433-7585 all in one long? Why do they put that dash there? You can remember it. Absolutely. See, little things are beneficial to us. And you know what God does? He puts a little thing together for us to get our hands around. That's Proverbs. And it's valuable to us. Proverbs is a book that God has given to us to help us relate one to another. Now, within Proverbs, it contrasts. Now, in Proverbs, you'll find many times you'll have a wise man and a foolish man. A wise man and a foolish man. A wise man and a foolish man. Why does God teach us that way? Why does God teach us by contrast? What good does that do us? Well, what it does to us, it helps us see more clearly. Now, if you go to a jewelry store and they've got a necklace or some diamonds, what do they put behind a diamond? They have a bright light, but what do they put behind the diamond? Black velvet. Why? Because they want to contrast it. They want your eyes not to be focused. You don't say, oh, what a beautiful black velvet that is. I think I'll buy some. Do you have some for sale? No, what is your eyes drawn to? The diamond. You know, that's what they want you to focus on. And God, He teaches by contrast, so we get it. Now, God knows, He says, all we like sheep have gone what? Astray. You know, we're sheep. Sheep are not very smart. Sorry, folks. If you really thought you were smart here this morning, sorry to take you down a few notches, but that's what God says. We're not very smart. And you know what? I thank God that He makes it very simple. Now, with Proverbs, if you read through the book of Proverbs, you'll find some redundancy. Certain themes, certain things come over and over again through Proverbs. And there's a reason for that. Because sometimes, like Nancy will have to tell me about something one time or two times or three. After a while, I get it. Okay, I got it. I know you want this done. Okay? Because repeating helps. And you'll find in Proverbs it's said over and over again a certain theme. But that's for our benefit, because sometimes we don't get it the first time. And God helps us by the way he's laid this book out, that certain themes come over and over again, and that's by design by God's Holy Spirit. Proverbs teaches by contrast. Proverbs teaches by casting alongside. They'll say a certain truth, and there's something that will parallel it. In other words, he says this, and then something comes right over. So you get the impact of what Proverbs is saying. Now, within this, verse 5 says, a wise man will hear. Verse 7, in the middle of the verse says, but fools despise wisdom. You know, God separates humanity into two groups of people, a wise person and a foolish person. Now, I try my best to be a wise man, but sometimes I get over in that category of a foolish man. We've all played the fool, what, at some time or another. And that's why God's gracious. We all make mistakes. He's a good God. Jonah made a mistake. You know, Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. But what does it say in Jonah chapter 2? The word of the Lord came to Jonah, what? A second time. God's gracious. And, you know, we want to be wise people. Because do I really want to cause pain to myself, to my family, to my employer, to my church, to my community, to my reputation? Do we really want to be causing problems? I don't think so. If you're a thinking person, you really don't want to cause more problems. So we want to be wise people. But where do we get wisdom from? Is wisdom encapsulated inside of us, or is it outside of us? Do we have to go to a source greater than us? We have to go outside of us, because Almighty God has all wisdom and understanding. And he knows me better than I know myself, and he knows you better than you know yourself, because he's God. And God can give us wisdom in life, how we live. A wise man, a foolish man. With that being said, Satan comes along as a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. He wants to tear your life up. And sometimes, just like Satan tempted Eve in the garden, has God said? You know, he'll challenge you. And what you want to do is you want to be so know the word of God that if Satan should put a temptation, a lie in your heart and spirit, and you're thinking about this thing, and all of a sudden, ding, ding, that's not what God's word says. Satan, you're a liar. And you got to recognize God's lie. You can recognize Satan's lies by knowing God's word. That you can recognize a lie of Satan by knowing God's word. Proverbs. How many chapters are there in Proverbs? 31. In an average month, how many days are there? 31. So you could read a chapter a day. I know a man, he's read the book of Proverbs over 250 times, he said. And he said every time he reads it, he gets something new out of it. How deep is God? He's endless. And you know, you can read a verse, and then the next time you go to it, you got a need in your life, and you read that verse again, oh, ding, oh yeah, that works. God can teach you over and over again. Even though you may have been familiar with it, you can learn something new. And that's the word of God. Proverbs is a great blessing. But what you don't want to do, you don't want to be in that. If I was to draw two circles on the floor and put a foolish man here and a wise man over here, which circle would you want to stand in? I want to be in a wise man's circle. But how do you get there? How do you know Satan's not lying to me? How do you know this is the right decision? Well, you want to be a wise man. Do you remember years ago in public education, if you did something, you're misbehaving in class, what would they do to you? They put a what kind of cap? Does anybody ever wore one of those? No, you don't have to raise your hand if you did. You probably wouldn't anyway. But does that feel good? Would that feel good? No, it wouldn't feel good. We don't want to be in that circle over there. But you know what I'm fearful of? A lot of people stand in that circle. You know why? Because they don't know what God has to say. He wants us to be wise people. He wants us to be wise. Now, Chapter 1, verse 1 says, the Proverbs, these short sayings of Solomon. I want to talk about Solomon here for a minute. Solomon's father was David. God says of David, he was a man after mine own what? Heart. Was David a perfect man? No. Did he sin? Absolutely. Read Psalm 51. He sinned. But deep in David's heart, he always put God first. He wanted to do God, but he had that sin nature like you and I have. The will that we want to do, we don't do. And what we don't want to do, guess what? We find ourselves what? Doing it. We have that sin nature. Not till we get to glory, we get our glorified body, this man of sin's done away with. But until that day appears, we have that sin nature. Now Solomon, David loved God with all of his heart. If it's said that David loved Solomon, if David loved God with all of his heart, Solomon loved God with half his heart. Now was Solomon a wise man? He was. He was a wise man. This time when he wrote Proverbs, he was walking with God. God's spirit was flowing through him. He was used of God. But later in Solomon's life, what happened to him? What happened to Solomon? Yeah, he turned to idol worship. Turn to 1 Kings chapter 3 here just for a minute, and then we'll look at some other. 1 Kings chapter 3. Now, this is what Solomon prayed for. 1 Kings chapter 3. Verse 9. He just was made king and he was considering the kingdom. Verse 9 says of 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 9. His prayer to God was, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge so great a people? You know, Solomon felt overwhelmed. You know, he's the king and he's on the throne and people come to him and they got problems and they want answers. And Solomon thought about this. He said, I can't do this, God. How am I going to do this thing? And so it's Solomon, he got on his knees and he said, God, give me an understanding heart that I can judge thy people. That I know how to, when I got a case before me, I know this is right and this is wrong. This is what they should do. This is what they not should do. That I may discern. That I have the wisdom to understand the deeper issues. You know, discernment and judgment is different. Judgment is making the right pronouncement. Do this. Discernment is, how do I get there? How do I know? When you're discerning, you look at everything and you say, this is true, this isn't true because of this and this. You know how to take it apart to get to where you want to be. You're discerning. You're very discerning. You pick up on things that are there that give you the understanding. And I may discern between good and bad. And his response is, who's able to judge? I'm the king, so great a people. What was God's reaction? And the speech pleased the Lord. Now think about that for a minute. Solomon's praying, and God heard this man's prayer, and it pleased him. Why did it please him? Well, why was God happy with his prayer? You know why? Because these were God's people. And Solomon was wanting to do his job right. And God, help me to do what you've given me to do. I can't do it. And God said, the speech pleased him. That Solomon asked this thing. Verse 11, this is what God said. Behold, because thou hast asked this thing, and thou hast not asked for thyself a long life, neither have you asked for riches for thyself, nor has thou asked the life of thine enemies, but has asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment or justice. Behold, I've done according to thy words. Lo, I've given thee a wise and understanding heart. Stop right there. Now, Have you ever made a bad decision? There was a young, I've told this story. There's a young man one time, had an older business. He was a young businessman, an older businessman. The young man asked the older man, who was very successful, "How did you become successful?" And the older man said, "Son, I made good decisions." So the young man thought, okay. And he said, "Well, how did you make good decisions?" He goes, "I made a lot of bad decisions." That's how it works. You learn from your bad decisions. But what you can do is stand on the shoulders of those that gone before you. And you don't have to make the same mistakes they made. If you listen to their counsel and you get wisdom, you can stand on their shoulders and be so much further ahead. And Solomon wanted to have a heart that was understanding. And he asked God, "God, give me this thing." And you know what God can do for you? If you made a lot of bad decisions in life, if you humble yourself before God, say, "God, I've messed up here." And you know, if you want to get God's blessing, first thing, just be humble. Say, "God, I can't do this thing." God's word says, "God refuses the proud, but giveth what unto the humble? Grace." You humble yourself. You say, "God, I'm not as smart as people think I am. And I don't have it all together the way people think I have it all together. Because, God, you know. But, God, help me where I'm at in life. I want to be a wise man. I want to do what's right. I want to bless my family. I want to be a blessing to those around me, not a curse." Well, God says, "I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee, nor any shall arise like unto thee." And you know the goodness of God. Look at verse 13. "I've also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there should not be any among the kings like unto thee in all the days." Now, that's a pretty good answer to his prayer. How the goodness of God and the blessings, God can be gracious. You pray for one thing, and God can multiply that over and over and over in your life and give you more than you ever asked for. But it starts with a heart of wanting to be a wise person. Now, God put a stipulation. Look at verse 14. "And if thou wilt walk in my ways to keep my statutes and my commandments as thy father David did walk, then I'll lengthen thy days. I'll bless you in your life." And Solomon woke, and behold, it was a dream. And he came to Jerusalem and stood before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and offered a burnt offering. You know, he just worshiped God. He offered burnt offerings, peace offerings. That was a very special moment for Solomon in his life. He wanted to be a wise man. Now, I want to talk about some verses in Proverbs that Solomon wrote. Look at Proverbs 12:15 here for a moment. 12:15. Proverbs 12:15. It says these words: "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." Now, a foolish person, when you try to give them counsel or try to give them help, a foolish person is right in their own eyes. Guess what? They can't understand what you're saying because they don't have a heart to embrace it. A foolish person will say, "I know what I'm doing. I know it's right. I'm on the right way." He's right in his own eyes. God calls him foolish. We don't want to be foolish. We want to ask God for wisdom and understanding. Now, your pathway to wisdom, here in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 7 says, Proverbs 1:7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." The fear of the Lord, I want to talk about that for a minute. If you want to get into the wise people category, you know what the first thing you have to do? You just got to acknowledge there's a God. And you take God seriously. you fear him. Just get inside that circle of being, I fear God, I want to do what he says. That's the beginning. You're in that circle. Now, when you get in that circle, God can teach you so much because he can pour wisdom into your life, but you got to get there. See, you don't want to be the foolish person that denies God. Can anybody know that verse in Psalms 14:1? The fool has said in his heart, there what? Is no God. You're standing in that foolish circle. The circle of fools to say there is no God. Because creation declares there are God. The heavens and the earth declare there is a God. There's a creator. And we'll look at that in a moment here in Romans. But just to get inside the circle. If you want to be in the side of the circle that God can give you with, you just have that fear of the Lord. God, I'm going to do what you said because you're God. God says, good. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You want wisdom? You want knowledge? You want God to work? You just have that fear, that reverential awe of God that you recognize he's Almighty God. The foolish people that stand in this circle over here, they say, I don't need God's wisdom. I don't need the Bible. I'll do it my way. They despise wisdom and instruction. They don't have an ear to hear. They don't have an ear to hear. I read a story about a man that was a multimillionaire. He had 6 wives in his life, end of his life. And he told somebody these words. He says, I would have given all my money if just one of those relationships could have worked. Do you see, you can, if you define success by money, then that man was a success if money is your God. But if you define success by the broader term of life itself, how did he feel about his own self? A failure. Because he couldn't make life work. He didn't know how to make relationships work. He didn't know how to be faithful to be a one-woman man. He didn't know how to do that. See, you got to be careful how you define success. God says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You really are on the right path in the right circle. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Turn to Proverbs 22:15 here for a moment. Proverbs 22:15. Proverbs 22:15. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. Now, you don't have to teach your children to be bad, do you? You have to teach them to be what? Good. Why? Because foolishness is bound in their heart. The rod of correction shall drive it far from him. What's that mean? God's word says you need to discipline your children. If you don't discipline your children, that foolishness is going to be evident all over them. So what you do, you discipline them. Now, that's what we do as earthly parents. If God sees us moving over into that foolish realm and he wants us to stay here, God chastens every what? Son he receives. If you belong to God and you're starting to slip over in that foolish circle, God might just rebuke you and chasten you to give you wisdom to realize, hey, this isn't a good deal. This isn't working for me. I want to be heading back in this circle. I want to be a wise man. And a loving Heavenly Father will do that for us. He'll get us where we need to be. Proverbs, a foolish man, the wise man. Well, for Solomon, God gave him all this wisdom. But later in his life, he didn't stand in that circle of wisdom. He moved over to the foolish circle. And Solomon lost a lot of blessings in his life. And he had troubles. God raised up so many adversaries against Solomon and his later days. You know, for me, the best thing to do is to start well, keep going, and finish well. That's what we want to do. Solomon, he started well, he did well, but he didn't finish well. And let's just say you didn't start well, but then you got your act together here, then you can finish well. Do you know what I'm saying? But how do you finish well? Well, you get in that circle of wisdom, God's wisdom. Don't be a foolish man. Stand over here. Be that wise man. I want to be right here. And God, I'm going to ask you for wisdom in my life to know what to do. And I'm going to fear you, God. And to show my fear, I'm going to do what you say. Even if it grinds against my natural man, that I don't see how this can work, how, God, your word says that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I don't understand, if I only have so much money and if I give back to the work of the Lord, that you'll bless me at the end. But God, your word says that I want to do it. How many can testify that tithing works, that when you honor God? Is that a testimony? Does that work? It works. I know it works. And when you're faithful to God, you can't outgive God. And you sacrifice God. I've said it before, God's shovel is bigger than your shovel. I don't care how much you shovel out, God can put more back into you than you put out. But you honor God, because God says that he'll honor them that honor him. And God isn't a debt. He's my God, and I want to honor him. I want to be that wise man that lives wisely. We want to finish well. We don't want to be like Solomon. He didn't finish well. We want to finish well. Turn to Proverbs 1 here. The Proverbs of Solomon, we talked about Solomon, son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction. It's the purpose of the book is to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. I want to know how to live my life. To receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, equity. To give subtlety to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. How do I prepare my heart? A wise man will hear. How do you prepare your heart? You listen. You embrace it. You do what it says. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning. And a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Years and years ago, there was a magician named Houdini. Anybody know who I'm talking about? You ever heard of him? He was really famous. I mean, this guy was amazing. He, one time, on purpose, he goes down to the police station, and he says, "You got some handcuffs?" And he did this on purpose. And they said, "Yeah, do they work?" And they said, "Absolutely." He says, "If you handcuff me to this pole right here, I think I can get out of it." And they all laugh and say, "Sure." So they handcuff him, and the time they turn around to go to their desk, he was walking behind them. He got out that fast. They couldn't believe it. He was that kind of guy. He would do things that were amazing. How good he was. And he had such a reputation that all these young aspiring magicians would want to be like him. And they would come up after his shows and they would say, "Houdini, you know, I figured this out." And they would show him, to try to impress him, these young ones would show him all their new stuff. And you know what he'd do? He'd write it all down. Because he said, "I can always learn something new." And you know, he was an amazing man. And I think sometimes in our Christian life, we need to always be learning, because God can always teach us something new. And sometimes in life, too, about Proverbs here, a wise man will hear. You know, life is like this. We have a trail that we've traveled on, and we got this pathway down. But life takes us different ways, and sometimes the path of life can grow up with some weeds because we haven't been down in a while. And all of a sudden, God takes us back down this path that we are so familiar with, but all of a sudden, we see the weeds that have come up in our life, and we start pulling them back out again. And that's how Proverbs is. The wise men will hear. They'll see things that you may have thought you dealt with, and you see the weeds coming back up, and you re-deal with them. A wise man will hear and will increase in learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. You want to be a wise person. You want to know what God's word says. Now, verse 7, the fear of the Lord, beginning in knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Then Solomon just gives us a little warning here, just a taste of what life is like. He says, "My son, hear my instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, For they shall be an ornament of grace about thy head and chains about thy neck. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Now, wisdom, all of a sudden wisdom has to kick in here because he's going to unfold something here. The foolish circle's over here. The wise circle's over here. You want to stay in that wise circle. You want to be numbered among those people. And his instruction, sinners entice thee, consent thou not. This is a warning. If they say, come with us, let us lay in wait for blood. Let us lurk pervertly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them up alive as the grave. And it's those that go down in the pit. We should find all precious substance and fill our house with substance or spoil. You know, the foolish people say, come with us. We're going to do robbery. We're going to kill these people. We're going to take all their stuff. We're going to have one purse. We're going to have a great time. We're going to be rich. And wisdom is sitting over saying, I'm not going with you guys because that's wrong. Give me a verse about lying and stealing and killing. Thou shalt not what? Steal. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Boom, boom. That should pop right in your mind. And wisdom says, God says I shouldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. There was a man years ago, and I wish I could remember his name, but I can't. But this was his story. He used to only rob from the rich and the famous. And he'd always leave a little signature behind if he robbed your house. And it got to be quite a status signal because if he robbed you, then you were one of those rich people. Okay, it was almost it was really whack, but that's how it worked in the newspapers. And guess what happened? Your sin will what? Find you out. They caught him, put him in jail. And years went by, he's sitting in jail for robbery. And a newspaper guy came by to see him and just interviewed him. And the newspaper guy said, who did you rob from the greatest? Who did you rob the most from? And I just remember this little line. He goes, I robbed from myself the most because I could have been a businessman and had a family and had a good life because I'm not stupid. But I got into robbery and I'm sitting in this jail. He said, I robbed from myself. See, wisdom will keep you from what? Getting in that foolish circle. Because right here, they're saying, come with us, lay in wait for blood. We're going to kill people. I don't care if we kill people. We're going to get what they want. Let's swallow them up alive. We shall find all precious substance. We shall fill our houses. Cast in your lot. Come with us. We'll all have one purse. God's word says, my son, walk not in thy way, that way. Don't walk with them. Refrain thy foot from their path. Don't hang with that crowd. Choose your friends wisely. Because if you choose wrong friends, guess what they're going to do? They're going to take you down. And the circle of wisdom says, I'm not going to hang around with that crowd. Have you ever heard of somebody that hung around with the wrong people and it was bad for them? Do you know what I'm saying? You ever heard the saying, they got in with the wrong crowd and it took them down? See, wisdom. See, this is practical stuff. Choose your friends wisely who you hang with. Don't you hang with that crowd. Verse 19 sums up, so are the ways of everyone that is greedy of gain. Thou shalt not covet. If you're greedy of gain, you're taking away your own life, so to speak. You're shortening your life. Verse 19. Psalm 14:1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eye, but he that hearketh unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 14:9, the fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. This will be for next week, but I just want to touch upon it here just for a moment. Turn to the book of Romans here. Romans chapter 1. And we'll get into it more next week. Romans chapter 1. Now, I want you to think about this world we live in. I remember hearing this fellow say one time, the world has gone crazy. Do you ever see things on the news that you just scratch your head saying, how can that be? You ever feel that way? Like, is this for real? down in North Carolina, they have this big fight about bathrooms, whether boys should go in the boys' bathrooms and girls should go in the girls' bathrooms. I don't have a category for that. Do you know what I'm saying? I just don't have a category. Why is that a problem to have boys and girls? I tell you what's happened here. Romans 1, God's word, says it all. Look at verse 22 of Romans 1. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools. He made them what? Male and female. It's not that complicated. It's not that hard. But if you reject the knowledge of God and you push God aside and you say there is no God, Psalm 14:1, you're standing in this foolish circle. Guess what happens to you? Your foolishness just starts oozing out everywhere because you've lost the wisdom of God. You've lost the stability of God. You've lost the counsel of God in your life. And every man did what was right in what? His own eyes. That circle right there. That's where we are as a culture. And I feel like too many people have moved from the circle of wisdom into the circle of foolishness, and they don't even see it because they think they're so wise. And God says, you're a fool. That's pretty strong talk, but I tell you, warnings, God gives us warnings. And we better heed them, because guess what? Reality will happen one day. And if you live in that foolish circle and you never repent of your sins, you never get in the wise circle and take Jesus Christ as your Savior and repent of your sins and live for God, and you live in that foolish circle, when you meet God one day, and you're standing before him and you lift your chin up and say, well, I always thought there was no God. Do you think that's going to go over real good for you? Do you think you're going to have a good day right then? I don't think it's going to go very good for you. And God gives us a chance right now to repent. He gives us a chance to make things right with God. He gives us a chance to live in wisdom. Because Satan wants you where? In that foolish circle, where he can destroy your life, destroy your family, destroy your testimony, destroy your future. And God says, don't go there. Don't play the fool. Because there's too many foolish people in this world. And our front pages of our newspaper is just showing their what? Foolishness. Let's be wise. Proverbs says here in chapter 1, a wise man will what? Hear and will increase in learning. Let us pray here. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word here this morning. And God, may we be wise men and women here today, God, that hear your word and want to honor you. God, don't let us stand in that foolish circle or head toward that, God. Father, may you fill our hearts full of wisdom. May we cry out for wisdom and acknowledge you, God. For you alone are God, and there is no other. So, Lord, help us toward this end. And God, that we may live for you and not be condemned with this world that's perishing. So, Lord, may we honor your word, and may we fear you exceedingly, and have that reverential awe of you always, the fear of the Lord. That's the beginning of knowledge, of knowing you. And those that know you, God, are wise people. So, Lord, may we stand in that circle of the wisdom of God, of wise people, that we stand in that circle. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.